The Research Journalism Initiative. For the crew here at Flashpoints, for Dennis, I'm Nora Barrows Friedman. Thank you so much for listening. Showbiz, what it is, what it is, what it is, what it is. Nobody loves you when you're down and out. Nobody knows you when you're on cloud nine. Everybody's hustling for a buck and a dime. I'll scratch your back and you knife mine. I've been across the water now so many times. I've seen the one-eyed witch doctor leading the blind. But still you ask me, do I love you? What you say, what you say? Every time I put my finger on it, it slips away. Every time I put my finger on it, it slips away.
In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. And we're again joined by Sidney Sheehan. She is running against Nancy Pelosi for the congressional seat in San Francisco. You may have heard that Nancy Pelosi is now the Speaker of the House. And among other things, one of her first declarations is that impeachment will be off the table. And apparently, she and the Democrats are not rushing to end the war in Iraq. Sidney Sheehan, you have put that at the core of your campaign. You lost your son, Casey, to a war that you consider illegal, and we are delighted to have you back and to hear more about your candidacy.
Hey, Dennis. Nice to be back.
Well, let's start with why, just remind people something more about why you decided to run and why you think it's important to hold both the Democrats and the Republicans accountable?
Well, first of all, our elected officials, no matter if they're Democrat, Republican, or whatever, they work for us. And we're the ones who pay their salaries. We're the ones who set their agenda. And if our elected officials aren't doing the will of the people, then it's up to us to hold them accountable. Now, we've seen over the course of the last 7 or so years that George Bush and Dick Cheney and that administration has taken our country and the world in a very dangerous course. And we do have a remedy in our Constitution called impeachment. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi, even before they were reelected in November of 06, said that she would not pursue impeachment, which, you know, many people believe is her constitutional duty to do so. And so we just got fed up. We got fed up with the inaction of the Democrats. We got fed up with their whining. And I'm not the kind of person that just sits back and complains. I take matters in my own hands. And I thought if Nancy Pelosi won't do what she is supposed to do to rein in the executive branch, then I would run against her and hold her accountable.
You know, Sidney Sheehan, we've heard a lot in recent days and weeks about the surge, the so-called surge being incredibly effective, the Bush policy taking hold. It's almost become treason to say that the surge is really not working. You want to respond to all this fanfare around this?
Well, there definitely has been a reduction in U.S. troop casualties. The people in Iraq are still fleeing their homes at massive rates. They're still being killed. The United States just dumped 40,000 pounds of bombs in a neighborhood by Baghdad. So the surge is not working. The surge has been a disaster for the people of Iraq. You know, they don't take into consideration when they say that the violence has gone down, that most neighborhoods have been ethnically cleansed by now. And when they say that Iraqis are returning their homes, it's just for the bare reasons that for First of all, Jordan and Syria aren't accepting refugees anymore because they have already accepted hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of refugees into their countries. People who flee to those countries are running out of money, so they have to go back. It's not because the violence is less or they're any safer, but because, you know, they just have no choice. So the surge is not working. Anything that George Bush and the administration say, from the president to the generals, should not be believed, because, you know, over and over again they have proven that they're liars and they can't be trusted. And now they're trying to sell us an invasion and occupation of Iran. I don't know if so much of an occupation, but bombing Iran, you know, based on the same things they told us was happening in Iraq. And so we should not believe anything that they say, and we should continue to demand a full and complete withdrawal of troops from Iraq.
We're hearing a lot. Last night there was another debate among the Democrats, and we're hearing a lot about fireworks and this rivalry between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. I bet one thing that their handlers agree on, and that's the decision to do everything they could to keep Dennis Kucinich out of the debates. I guess they don't want him to raise key issues. What's your response to their apparent collaboration to shut him down?
Well, I see that it was a collaboration to shut Dennis down, and of course the corporate media is, you know, helping them with that, because, you know, they work together to keep democracy suppressed in the United States. They're attacking each other on personal basis because they can't attack each other on their records or their votes, because they're very similar. Even though Barack Obama might have spoken out against the invasion of Iraq before it happened, he's voted to fund the war. He hasn't worked hard to bring our troops home, and neither has Hillary. So I think it just is, you know, a big smokescreen, and no matter who wins the nomination in either party, we know that they're the candidates that have been picked for us, so it's not really true representative democracy.
I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of Dennis Kucinich, he has introduced an impeachment resolution, a very strong impeachment resolution against Richard Cheney, the current vice president of the United States.
Right.
And it would seem to me that that would be the kind of issue that he would raise that nobody would want to hear about.
Well, that's right. That's what, you know, I was getting at. It's not an issues-based campaign, because, it, you know, they rarely are based on the issues that really matter to America, that, you know, the economy, the war, accountability. We took over 10,000 letters and signatures on petitions to Nancy Pelosi's office last week, and we didn't have one member of the corporate media there to cover it. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi's office has, again, released their statement that they are not going to pursue impeachment because they said that it would divide the country, as if, you know, we're not so deeply divided and polarized. You know, in my memory, our country has never been divided and polarized as this. And I think we should unite around the rule of law and know that presidents cannot impose their will on the world without being held accountable. Presidents, vice presidents, speakers of the House. Nancy Pelosi is complicit in their torture. She's known about it since as early as 2002. She's known that our country was breaking international law, not only breaking international law, but breaking our own constitution that prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. So Nancy Pelosi is complicit. She can, and her office can say whatever they want about not wanting to divide the country or not wanting to be distracted. But the bare fact is the Democrats and Republicans, except for a few notable exceptions like Dennis Kucinich, are complicit, and they have colluded for years to keep the people of America not only blind and ill-informed about the issues, but to suppress our voice in our country.
We're speaking with Cindy Sheehan. She is a candidate for Congress against standing against the Speaker of the House in San Francisco, Nancy Pelosi. Cindy Sheehan, I just want to let people know that I have sent off an email to Drew Hamill, the PR scheduler for Nancy Pelosi. And of course, she is invited to come. I know you're willing to debate her. She can come on her own if she wants. We have the open door policy if she wants to come and talk about why impeachment is off the table, why she's been so quiet about the use of torture as a forward-fighting tool now. And we're focusing on torture and the decision by the United States government, as you said, to use it as a weapon. What do you think it means to the world when they see the United States? We just saw, for instance, this row in Canada where the Canadian Diplomatic Corps was briefed on the torturing countries, and they happened to include the United States and Israel. The story was pulled in 3 hours, but still, it's now known that the United States is a key torturer, classified along with Israel, China, Jordan, so on and so forth.
Well, we are definitely have descended into barbarism. You know, the United States is supposed to be the leader in the world in so many things, but, you know, we're one of the only advanced so-called civilizations that still practices corporal punishment. We still execute prisoners, and we have the harshest record also of treating juvenile offenders. And, you know, torture is something that should be repudiated by all human beings, and all Americans should stand up against the government and say, this is not what the United States of America should stand for. And when George Bush talks about his war on terror, the rest of the world pretty much understands that George Bush is waging a war of terror with, you know, torture and killing innocent human beings, and Iraq not providing for the stability or security of that country after we invaded it and became occupiers. You know, I heard that in 3 or 4 days in Baghdad, they only had 1 hour of electricity. So that is just something that is very inhumane. All of our policies have become so inhumane and barbaric. And this is what we want to do, and is just stand up and say that we repudiate our government and what we're doing, because we are people of conscience, and we know that when we torture, we all are the torturers. We have lost our soul in America if we don't stand up to what George Bush and Dick Cheney, with the help of the Democratic leadership and Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House, we have to stand up to them and say enough is enough, and we're ready to step in and become active participants to change the direction of our country.
Cindy Sheehan, if people want more about your campaign, more information about how to support your work, how can they do that?
Well, they can go to cindyforcongress.org, or they can stop by our campaign office at 1260 Mission between 8th and 9th. We're there every day.
All right. I want to thank you so much for being
thank
with us.
Thank you, Dana.
Flashpoints. All right. Bye-bye.
We appreciate
now.
It.
And that wraps it up for another edition of Flashpoints, which airs every weekday and is produced by Dennis Bernstein and Nora Barrows-Friedman. Our contributing producer is Robert Knight. Our interim technical director is Eric Klein, and our production assistants are Emily Howard and Evelina Molina. Our Friday co-host is Francisco Herrera. Miguel Molina is our roving producer, and JR and the Block Report contribute to this program. Amanda Bellerby is our environmental producer and also produces the weekly Best of Flashpoints. To comment on today's program or to subscribe to our Fight Back email list, please contact us at flashpoints@kpfa.org. You can look us up on the web at www.flashpoints.net for our archived shows. Many thanks to our web team, and thank you for listening. This week's music break, Nobody Loves You When You're Down and Out, by John Lennon. I'm Amanda Bellerby for Flashpoints.